On the Wintrust Business Lunch with Craig Bolanos, the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. Hey, Craig, the markets are having a nice little run here. What's going on?
John, it's been a good stretch. I thought January through March was nothing short of Goldilocks. April brought those, what, April showers. But May, as you indicated, it's been nothing short of May flowers. In fact, today, the Dow Jones is actually going for its eighth positive day in a row. And why did all this happen? I think Q1 earnings season turned out to be not just fine, I think it turned out to be pretty good. And everyone who was wringing their hands over margins and revenues, well, they were reminded that this economy is continuing to grow and the consumer, despite all odds, has been performing.
Is that a good thing?
Well, I think that's actually a very good thing, because at the end of the day, the stock market is forward-looking. And I do acknowledge that right now, the 2024 earnings per share estimate's coming in at $243. That's just a number. But more importantly, for 2025, whether it'll happen or not, truth will be seen ultimately. People are looking for 270 of operating earnings in the S&P 500. Notice that's growth. That's not contraction. That's growth. So I think this puts us in a very good place. We're all really focused on the Fed, and we can talk about that if you would like. But I think the bigger picture is, if it doesn't look like a recession where you live and it doesn't feel like a recession where you work, it's probably not a recession. Right, John?
Yeah, although if it does, then it is. And that does seem to get some attention. For instance, and I'm not arguing with you, I'm glad to hear all of that, and I've noticed that, but is this inflationary? Is this going to keep prices high?
Well, I think we all have to understand that the large reset we've seen in prices, I mention all the time, the shrinkage in my unsweetened iced tea bottle, the cost of my favorite brand of potato chips, I have no doubt that those prices aren't going to come down. They're a new permanent fixture. But I do say the pace of change year over year from here is going to continue to crawl lower. While some people are worried that it's stalled out, I do think the inflation data is going to continue to crawl lower, at least so long as tensions in the Middle East don't get worse and we don't see a corresponding spike in energy prices.
So you don't see a major correction in the near or midterm, huh?
No, I want to acknowledge to everybody that the market is probably priced not for perfection, but the truth is we have a very good narrative going here. You know, investing historically during a period of time when the Federal Reserve is on pause, and that's exactly where we are, being in a position where the economy, and again, the U.S. economy is clearly still enjoying solid growth, even though there's evidence that it's some slower growth. And let's not forget, you don't fight the Fed and the Federal Reserve and Jerome Powell. They've pushed back on rate hikes. They've just embraced normal, or I should call them higher than normal rates for longer. The point being, this is a pretty good recipe still for those who are equity investors.
So fair enough. But then you're not overly concerned about 7% mortgages?
Well, I certainly understand this. The cost to borrow is difficult and burdensome on everyone, whether it's the first-time home buyer, whether it's someone looking to upgrade from the two- or three-bedroom residence to the four-bedroom, whether it's the farmer who puts food on our table and now has a higher cost of equipment leasing. But I am very, very happy that we spent a lengthier period of time at zero-rate interest policy, where so many Americans who had the good fortune through nothing more than timing to lock in those very low rates. That's making up for the fact, John, that we don't have the excess savings that we used to, because a lot of people are locked into servicing debt at low rates. It's just challenging for those who are coming of age in a higher rate environment, as you and I sit today.
Now, you alluded a minute ago to the Fed, Craig. What is your take on their action? They're going to lower rates, and when?
I think, again, I'm not worried about rate hikes. We've pushed against that. The next direction is going to be lower. It's a question of when. And, John, you and I talked several times throughout this year, 2024, that 6 to 7 rate cuts was never going to happen. I think you set the over-under at 2.5, and I used to take the over.
Yep.
Well, I'm here today on Friday to say I'm taking the under because I'm hopeful we get a rate. Yep, I'm hopeful we get a rate cut at that September meeting. I feel confident we will get a rate cut in December because come December, we'll have had a couple more, two more GDP prints, multiple data points. But that's all I'm looking for is 2 at best, 1 for certain this year. But I think investors will be okay to put their head down and just continue to focus on economic growth.
Yeah, right. But okay, so a lot of us were guessing 3 or more. Now it's 0, 1, or 2. And some folks are saying 0 or 1. And not until September and December, says you, huh?
That is correct. September, I'm hopeful. December, I feel more confident in.
How did we go from 5 to maybe 0? What happened?
Well, I think what happened is this. Like anything, the market always tends to overshoot, the market tends to undershoot, and then with time, we all get some clarity. And I certainly don't want to say the Federal Reserve should stop talking and just put their head down and do the business. I mean, the fact that they're so communicative, I think it's been good for investors of all shapes and sizes. But I think we just have to appreciate how interconnected the globe is. We have to appreciate how quick the high-frequency data changes. And in this world of information traveling so quickly, both up and down, I think we've just have to right-size expectations from time to time. And, yeah, the consensus, John, there's no other way. The consensus just got it wrong. I mean, we're not at 2% inflation yet, are we?
We're closer to 4 now. But the market base is broader right now, isn't it?
When you say, is the market broadening, if you mean, are we seeing participation from stocks beyond that, which is just the, you know, large cap technology, the Magnificent Seven? Oh, most definitively. Look at the run we've seen in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Again, this could be 8 days in a row, and it clearly shows that we are getting some leadership from other places, the market. But again, that leadership is coming from quality, not coming from capitalization, because small cap stocks, still not looking all that hot. Mid cap stocks, doing okay this year. It's large caps where we're seeing the improving breadth into other sectors of the market.
So like what? What companies or sectors does that mean?
Well, the first thing, of course, is technology has been fantastic, but we have to look at the move we've seen in healthcare stocks, look at the move we've seen in energy stocks this year, and beyond that, think about big earth-moving industrial companies like one that used to be dominated in Illinois, Caterpillar. So there's just other areas of this market that are responding to the fact that the economic growth has remained resilient, a.k.a. the soft landing or no landing scenario is still on the table.
Caterpillar's always been one of those bellwethers for the world economy, right? Because they sell and service tractors all around the globe, and they sometimes have their finger on the pulse pretty well. I'm trying to figure out now what Caterpillar would tell us about maybe markets in America or markets abroad.
Yeah, well, I think looking at the stock price of Caterpillar, we can tell that markets abroad are definitely not falling off. And even though China has gone through what I call that, you know, growth contraction, China is certainly not dead. China's not in a recession. And that's important for what I call the world's second largest economy. And you look at some of those industrial stocks. I mean, I look back at something as simple as Caterpillar, and I say Cat stock was trading at 127 back in 2019. Today it's 355. I guess that's a story for the world economic engine of growth and the fact that quarterly earnings have been positive for some 14 quarters in the S&P.
What else, before I let you go, Craig, should we pay attention to? What else are you looking at?
Well, I think the biggest thing for all investors is this. So many of us have money not just in stocks. We have money in bonds. We have money in cash equivalents. And I encourage everyone to understand that risk-free rate, money market, high-yield savings, they're a great tool that should be embraced. But I don't think we want to be overcommitted there, because if we want to get retired and stay retired, I'm not encouraging anybody to go long in their bonds, but I am encouraging people to understand that for some of the money you want to permanently keep safe, we might just want to start buying some bond ladders, buying some target maturity bond funds to lock in these generous interest rates so that we don't have reinvestment rate risk going into year-end 24 and into 2025.
And that's coming from a guy who's pretty bullish right now, too.
That's right, because while I can be bullish on free markets and free men and free women and the U.S. capital system, I can also know what's important about money. And for all of us, what's important about money is just being able to stay in control. Money allows us to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And that means we have to strike a balance between growing for the long term and generating the income that we're going to need for retirement. And that's why I think fixed income, the bond market, Safe Money Solutions, is designed to be a part of people's portfolio, regardless of their age and economic stature.
Craig Bolanos is the CEO and founding partner of Wealth Management Group in Inverness and Downers Grove. You can call them at 833-WMG-PLAN, as in Wealth Management Group, 833-WMG-PLAN. Nice to talk to you, Craig. Thanks.
John, my pleasure. Hope to see you on the pickleball court one day.
You just might. That sounds like fun. Do you know that this is one of the most popular times for traveling by rail? And in fact, there's a business right here in Chicago called Vacations by Rail, which is headquartered at Union Station. That's a good place to be. Here's Liz Owens, Senior Vice President of Vacations by Rail. Hi, Liz. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So tell me a little bit about what you all do. I presume you book vacations by rail.
I mean, how much better of a name could we have than vacations
yes.
by rail?
Yeah.
It is literally what we do. Our founders 20 years ago kind of saw a market of rail travel and wondered if the U.S. consumer would be interested in vacationing that way. And here we are at our 20th anniversary, and it turns out that a lot of people are interested and that it is a really exciting way to go on vacation. And for anyone who's been on a train, it's a really wonderful way to kind of see the landscape of the United States and other countries.
Do the vacations then start at Union Station?
So we do have a number of North American tours that leave from our backyard here at Union Station. A lot of those are leaving and heading west, and then you get a nice trip through various national parks. We do accommodate travelers who like to leave from either Seattle or Los Angeles or other Amtrak starting points. But we also have a lot of U.S. consumers who are looking to travel abroad. We're sending a lot of people to Scotland to see the Highlands by rail. Switzerland's another great rail market.
Yeah.
And, you know, post-pandemic, with things opening back up, we're seeing a lot of interest in areas like Japan, Australia, New Zealand, all of which have great rail networks.
Yeah. Brenda and I took the train from London to Edinburgh, and
yeah.
that alone is worth the trip, just the train ride. I mean,
yeah.
London's great and Scotland is great. But 120 miles an hour, smooth as glass, enjoying a gin and tonic with nice food and a comfortable seat for a couple of hours. That was a highlight.
It's so nice. I actually take that train regularly to see our sister company in York in northern UK. So it's a lovely trip.
Well, when I travel in the United States, I'm traveling Amtrak, right?
Yes. Yes, we do have some specialty lines. So in North America, a lot of people have heard of Rocky Mountaineer, which goes through the Canadian Rockies. They also have rail line in the States that goes from just outside Denver through the Red Rocks into Provo. And so that is some non-Amtrak rail that we offer. And then we also have a number of tours that feature heritage rail. So some of those are cogs that are just short rail lines that run but give you incredible views of certain areas. We also have one in the Napa area of California that is a wine train. So, yes, for the long journeys, it's a lot of Amtrak, but we do have some other rail features in some of our tours as well.
What's the typical duration? Is it 4 days, 2 weeks? How long?
So for a lot of our domestic kind of North American-based tours, you're looking at 8 to 12 days, just a normal kind of vacation length. We do have some longer haul vacations. If you're looking to go to Europe or Asia, that could span 14 to 21 days for those who have more time and ability to explore.
So do I talk about the stops then? If I'm traveling for a week by train, am I sleeping on the train as it travels, or am I getting off the train and staying in a hotel?
Well, it really depends on your travel style and where you want to go. We do offer a number of trips that include overnight train. A lot of the Amtrak National Park trips that we have here in the U.S. have that, as well as some across Canada trips that we do as well. We also have some domestic trips, like one that's called the Colorado Rail Experience, where you're actually just going on five different rail lines for short periods of time and then staying in some hotels. In the case of the Rocky Mountaineer up in the Canadian Rockies, you're actually on the Rocky Mountaineer during daytime. A lot of those tours are staying at a nice Fairmont property in Canada, and then you get up and get back on the train. So there's a variety of ways that you can travel on train, anywhere from a two-hour kind of scenic journey to up on the Canadian. Sometimes you're spending as much as three nights on the train.
So out of Chicago, I'm looking at the places you go direct from Chicago. Glacier National Park is one, right?
Yes, that's correct. It's a popular one.
What are the most popular ones? Let's use that. Where else do people like to go from Chicago?
Yep. So if you want to travel independently, a lot of people will head down to New Orleans. That's a really easy overnight trip. And we can help you book accommodations both here in Chicago and in New Orleans. And then if you want an escorted journey where you have a tour guide and a group of like-minded customers, you know, we have America's Great National Parks. We have great parks in the Southwest. You know, a lot of them are leaving here from Union Station, heading west into some of those areas like Glacier National Park. And then you're getting accommodation in the park, as well as some touring once you reach the park.
Can you talk about the trains? Like, what are my accommodations like when I'm on the train?
Yeah, so on Amtrak, you have three options. One is coach. I say it's better than coach on a plane because there's no middle seat. So you have a nice wide seat with ample leg room. And so that gives you a chance to look out the window, see the sights. For those who want a little more space, there is something called a roomette. So it's slightly more private. You do have a shared bathroom. There's a curtain, but you get bed accommodations, basically like two bunk beds, as well as full window viewing and access to the dining car. And then there are bedroom accommodations where you get a full private bedroom, also with two beds, but an en-suite restroom in those for those that are doing longer treks. And then up in Canada, you can look at similar things, but they also offer something called Prestige Service, which is almost like a miniature hotel room on the train. So if you are doing one of those longer stints, like on the Canadian in Canada, you could get Prestige Service, which is even more kind of luxurious than the usual accommodations.
What's the price range on? I know we've got different destinations, different trains, yeah. And different accommodations, but how much do these things tend to cost?
Yep. So we offer a number of tours that are under $1,000 per person. A lot of those are those independent tours that you can do over a long weekend, like the New Orleans one I talked about earlier. A lot of the escorted touring that takes, you know, a week to 10 days, you're going to see a price point of $2,500 to roughly $3,500, depending on what you're doing and how many nights you're there. And then we do have some more premium and luxury offerings that give you sometimes smaller group size, sometimes more elevated hotels that maybe are smaller or more unique. And those, you know, we'll see anywhere from $4,000 to $10,000 per person. I know everyone knows the Orient Express. We do have some tours on those, and those are obviously like the most luxurious trains that you can opt to ride
on. You're booking around the world, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
Liz Owens is a senior vice president and general manager of Vacations by Rail. Vacationsbyrail.com. If I'm in town, can I come right by your office, or do you prefer people interact with you over the internet?
Well, people tend to find us on the internet, or they call us on the phone. We have a number of rail specialists here that can help. I would love if people visited us at the office. We're right in the loop at Washington and Franklin. I don't get a lot of people here, but they are definitely welcome if they come by.
Liz Owens, vacationsbyrail.com. Okay, Liz, good heads up. Thanks for the time.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
More business news on the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The U.S. Transportation Department's Inspector General will audit the Federal Aviation Administration's oversight of maintenance practices at Chicago-based United Airlines. The watchdog audit comes in the wake of several mishaps involving United flights this year. One of those incidents involved a wheel that came off a plane after takeoff, a fuselage panel that was lost during flight, and a plane that skidded off the runway. The Inspector General will determine if the FAA is paying close enough attention to United maintenance. As part of the audit, the IG will visit maintenance hubs for United in Chicago, Houston, and San Francisco. The University of Chicago will offer a new fellowship that will connect students with startups that are part of the school's Clean Technology Accelerator. As part of the Resurgence program, students will support startups in areas like financial modeling and projections, customer discovery, market opportunity assessment, and investor readiness. Chicago Inno reports the inaugural group of fellows are all MBA candidates at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food with Steve Alexander.
Thank you. It's a Mr. Fizz Friday, gardening guru Jim Fizzell. And Jim, we are two sleeps away from Mother's Day, and I'm betting you have some gift ideas.
I do. Mother's Day Sunday.
Hold that thought, Jim, while I thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Okay, Mr. Fizz, Mother's Day, take it away.
Okay, and you know, there are some things I always think about. Even when I was a youngster, flowers are wonderful gifts for mom. Even if they don't garden, a bouquet of cut flowers works very nicely, or a potted plant. I like fuchsias because they'll last all summer if you take good care of them, the potted fuchsia. Azaleas, you can keep them year to year. Hydrangeas are gorgeous, but they don't last too long, but I like them anyway. They're one of my favorites. Or you could bring mom a rose bush or maybe a flowering shrub. There are quite a few different kinds. They're in bloom right now, as a matter of fact, spring flowering shrubs. And there's some that do last all summer. Or a platter of mixed annuals like pansies and petunias or even geraniums and so forth. Many of the garden centers now offer a renewable program where you can bring the planter in after the annuals that are in there have begun to fade, bring it in, and they'll replant it for you. So that works very nicely. Also, the stuff, if mom's a gardener, things that you can get for her, like a gardening apron. Some of them have nice designs on them, and some of them have nice sayings on them. Garden tools, or even ergonomic or adaptive garden tools if mom's a little older and it's a little harder for her to get down. Maybe a gardening kneeling pad or a kneeler. The last thing you might think about getting, because there are times when you can't get out in the garden, are gardening books. And there are a lot of them around now. I wrote some many, many years ago, which are pretty out of date now, but there are a lot of good ones that replace those. Now, Another thing that we have to think about out in the garden, it's probably safe to put out most annual plants like marigolds and passions, tomatoes, probably not the tender things like okra or watermelon, cukes, begonias or coleus. Wait until the soil warms because they're not going to do anything anyway. But prepare to cover any of the stuff that you put in until after the late frost is over, which could be as late as the 30th of this month, Memorial Day.
Mr. Fizz, gardening guru Jim Fizzell. On the food calendar, it's National Shrimp Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Michael Larson is the Executive Vice President and GM over at the Schaumburg Boomers. The Boomers open this season up on Monday. Hey, Michael, welcome back to WGN.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What's the prognosis? What are you looking at? How good are we going to be? What's our ERA going to be? How many games are we going to win?
Well, it's a 96-game season. I'm going to go with 56 wins and ERA of about 3.8 as a team, but I think we'll be led by a couple of good front-end starters and a good bullpen.
How about that? I didn't think you'd answer it that way.
You know, our opening day is actually today in terms of the regular season, but we're on the road this weekend. We're out by Pittsburgh right now out in western Pennsylvania. But we will be here opening up against Tri-City, which is Albany, New York team, on Monday night for a three-game series, part of a five-game homestand. We can't wait to get back out there. It's been a busy, busy offseason. We've added some great talent on the baseball side that improved on our playoff team from last year. But we've also spent most of the offseason under construction. You know, we've done roughly $2.5 million in renovations and updates to the stadium, and can't wait to see those come together and see people using the things that we just put in.
Like what? What have you spent money on?
It's a long list, so I'll stick to just kind of the fan base stuff. But one of the cool new features that you'll see immediately, especially if you're bringing kids or grandkids or anything out to the ballpark, is we have a brand new kid zone. Our kid zone has always been free. It's always been a very popular part of Wintrust Field, but we now have 7 new inflatables, a turfed area, new picnic tables, a whole new area out there. And again, we kept it free, so anyone who's in attendance can bring their kids out there. They don't have to pay extra for a wristband or anything like that. It's just a great additional and upgraded feature here at the stadium. We've been able to upgrade some of our picnic and group spaces. We've got 2 new outdoor suites. We have a brand new left field party deck for groups of 80 to 150, new picnic area, a ton of work up on the suite level where we've overhauled all of our suites. Hmm. We've overhauled our Schaumburg Club, which is an indoor space for both games we can do, you know, company outings there, but also we host events and everything there on non-game days. We have a lot of times where companies will come, host their meetings, host their events there, go take batting practice over lunch on the field, and go back to their meetings in the afternoon. And that whole space has seen a tremendous upgrade with a whole lot of new and cool features that we want to, you know, get out there and see used.
A lot of fun days at the park again this year, too. The bark at the park where you bring your dog, the Hawaiian shirt day. There's opportunities to play catch on the field. It's a different kind of baseball experience that way. I think people must appreciate that.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I've been here for 5 or 6 years, and one of the main things we want to do is treat everybody with respect, whether you're coming just with your family, whether you're coming by yourself, coming with a group, whatever. We want to treat everybody like you're just getting a nice time away. From the second you pull in, we don't charge for parking. It's free to park right here. You know, our tickets are going to be reasonably priced, whether you want just a basic ticket or if you want one that's all inclusive. And you get into the ballpark, and we don't nickel and dime you as you work your way around the park for like the kid zone or the other things that we got going on. We want to give you a break. We want to have people come out to the ballpark, enjoy a game, enjoy a great fireworks show, enjoy whatever promotion we have. There is probably the largest list of giveaways I've ever seen on a promotion schedule this year. The first one you already brought up, the Hawaiian shirts on Saturday of Memorial Day weekend. It's a nice afternoon game at 3 o'clock.
Yep.
That's going to be great. We have fireworks the Sunday night of Memorial Day weekend, the Friday night, plus on Monday this week for home opener.
Yeah, I was looking at the list of stuff, and I thought, oh, we don't have time for that. In fact, we'll just – really, it really does look like a great lineup, and I'm not even talking about the team. We'll talk about that more as the season moves along, but the Schaumburg Boomers are at boomersbaseball.com, boomersbaseball.com. Come back home with a winning record, and we'll follow you throughout the season, Michael.
Okay, thank you very much. We hope to do so.
Home openers on Monday. Michael Larson, Executive Vice President, GM. Schaumburg Boomers.